This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. Late last year, the Supreme Court heard nearly 3 hours of oral arguments in an election law case from North Carolina. And depending on how the court rules, it could give state lawmakers unprecedented power over how elections are run. It could prevent state judges from intervening if state lawmakers pass something that is unconstitutional. It's the biggest case of this year's term, and it could have colossal implications for the next presidential election. But, and there's always a but, the Supreme Court now may throw it out entirely. They asked for briefs late last week asking why they should still have jurisdiction now that the state Supreme Court in North Carolina plans to rehear the original case next week. We're going to talk about why with Jessica Levinson, our legal here on Press Play. She is also a professor at Loyola Law School. Hello.
Hello.
All right, so the big legal issue at play here is called the independent state legislature theory. And it sounds a little academic, but it's actually a real life theory that is being tested right now. Remind us what this is.
Well, I think it is a little academic. And frankly, I don't think that this should be a theory that gains any sort of widespread attention. And I actually don't think this ever should have gotten to the Supreme Court. The theory basically is that in the Constitution, when it says that state legislatures are in charge of the time, place, and manner of federal elections, then that word legislatures, it just means state lawmakers. It doesn't mean state court judges. It doesn't mean the governor. It doesn't mean the state secretary of state. And so that would give state lawmakers basically unfettered discretion to make decisions about federal elections. And it's not just redistricting. I mean, it's also voter ID laws, it's polling places, it's the date and time of primary elections. It would really give state lawmakers so much authority.
And not only over state elections, but also federal elections like a presidential election.
Well, that's exactly right. So there's another part of the Constitution that talks about, of course, the Electoral College and state legislatures sending slates of electors to the Electoral College. And so if it truly is just that state legislatures have that power, then all of a sudden we have to question whether or not state legislatures could even undermine the will of the state. And regardless of who the people in that state voted for, if the state legislatures could just send their own slate of electors. Now, I do have to say, Madeline, that is a really extreme reading of this theory. And during oral arguments in December, when the court heard this case, it didn't seem like there were 5 votes for that more extreme version that would affect presidential elections.
But did they seem amenable to some version of this?
They did. I mean, that's the thing that was strange. As you said, 3 hours of oral arguments. I remember it back in December. You and I talked about it. And we know that there are 4 votes on the court to at least discuss the issue, to at least probably give the issue, this theory, some weight. But what I'm not sure, and I don't know if anybody's sure, is whether or not there's 5 votes to say yes, and we're adopting that theory. Now, of course, as we're talking about, the Supreme Court might just get rid of this case, and then we won't know, at least for a while, whether there ever would have been a 5th vote that subscribes to this particular theory.
Okay, so just a recap, this is in North Carolina. The state legislature wanted to do some gerrymandering, and the state Supreme Court in North Carolina said, no, you can't do that. That's unconstitutional, and the legislators appealed to the Supreme Court. Now, that court has changed hands, and instead of leaning Democratic, it now leans Republican, and they've decided to reconsider their original ruling?
They have. It's pretty extraordinary, but exactly as you said, the court used to lean in favor of Democrats, the state Supreme Court, now it leans in favor of Republicans, and they've decided to hear 2 big election law cases. One deals with voting rights, and the other is the case we've been talking about that deals with the state lawmakers redrawing federal district lines. Of course, the state Supreme Court said that the GOP lawmakers drew those lines in such an egregious partisan gerrymander that they actually violated the state constitution. That's the case that went up to the Supreme Court. But because they're rehearing it, there might not be a final judgment that the Supreme Court is reviewing. And when the federal Supreme Court reviews a decision from a state Supreme Court, what we need is a final decision. But because they're rehearing the case, it's not clear if there is, in fact, a final decision.
But are they seriously just rehearing the case because it's sort of a partisan issue that there are just more Republicans now on that state Supreme Court? Is that really the only reason?
Well, what I'll say is it's very strange to decide to rehear a case. They've decided to rehear only two cases that deal with elections and have really broad implication for the balance of political power in North Carolina. So is that really the only reason? I mean, the state GOP said to the Supreme Court, we think you should reconsider. They agreed, you know, it's for everybody else to determine why. But I will say the legal issues didn't change here.
Right. Okay. So the court last week said, we'll wait for your final decision on this before we decide this case.
So the court, the Supreme Court last week said, hey, maybe you should give us some more briefing on this. Basically, what's going on? Do we still have a final order, a final decision that we're reviewing? And they've asked for additional supplemental briefing. I think, frankly, that this is an off-ramp for the U.S. Supreme Court. I think during oral arguments, they listened to each other. They listened to the colleagues. And I think they want to get rid of this case for now. And this might just be the gift that they're looking for, because they might say, look, we can't. We don't have jurisdiction. There's not a final decision to review. So we've seen the court do this before in other big election cases where they think they want to hear the case. It comes before the court. There's oral arguments. It doesn't maybe go exactly as either side wants. And then they'll say something like, oh, just kidding. There isn't standing, or it's moot now. And they basically kick the can down the road.
So what does this mean for North Carolina, though? So if this newly constructed state Supreme Court rules in favor of the Republican legislature, what could that mean for this state, the state that is pretty pro-Trump? It went for Trump in the last two presidential elections.
So the case itself, again, deals with the congressional district lines, and it would probably mean that the congressional district lines drawn by the GOP lawmakers could stand, because the state Supreme Court would presumably be saying, oh, actually, those lines that you drew, they aren't such an egregious partisan gerrymander that they violate the state constitution, and so they can stand. Obviously, that would be helpful for Republican congressional candidates moving forward. And it's just no coincidence that we're talking about these big election cases and these big redistricting cases when it comes to some states that tend to either be purple or go kind of up and back throughout the years.
So is there any other case making its way to the Supreme Court that could test this independent state legislature theory?
Well, that's a great question, right? Just because this particular case might end doesn't mean that this theory dies. And so if the court does in fact decide to say, you know what, sorry, just kidding, we're not hearing this case, then I do expect that there would be another challenge. Again, we know there's four votes to say that we want to explore this theory. The question is, if there actually are still four votes after those four conservatives heard their colleagues and heard maybe that there isn't a fifth colleague to say, yes, we want to go ahead and adhere to this doctrine. So they might just want to let it go for a few years as well.
Jessica Levinson, she is our regular legal here on Press Play and a professor at Loyola Law School. Jessica, thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, The Elephant Whispers, nominated for an Oscar for Best Short Documentary. The movie follows a couple that takes care of orphaned baby elephants, and it tells a larger story of environmental destruction.
The elephant is very intelligent and emotional and a social being. So it was a really good place to start, because I think humans can relate to elephants because elephants share many human traits.
That's next on Press Play.